Joining me now to talk about test scores and the student transfer law is District Superintendent Dr. Steve Green. And Mr. Superintendent, so good to have you. Welcome back.
Good to be here. Thank you, Steve.
So good news, right? How good?
Well, relatively speaking, the number of points, according to the state targeted areas that we've reached, we moved from 3 to 5. That's pretty dramatic.
Out of 14,
out
right?
of 14 that mm-hmm. are required to be fully accredited. 9 to 14 to be fully accredited. And we move from 3 to 5, and we see that as an encouraging sign. We're taking it both as a indicator of optimism, but also we're very realistic about the fact that we still have a long way to go. But we did make it in those five areas, and we were pleased with that, and we need to build on that momentum.
So the direction is definitely heading in the right way.
Correct. There were other indicators that we were looking at as well. And even though we didn't make it in some areas, we showed a substantial improvement in 10 of those 14 areas. And we see that as a strong indicator that we're starting to kind of turn the tide and move the district back in the right direction.
Steve, did you expect this outcome, or had you hoped for even higher scores?
I had anticipated a 5. In earlier presentations I had done, I said that I thought that's where we would wind up. We have a pretty good handle on predictive indicators of how students are performing on mock assessments that we give to them throughout the year.
Right.
And we were predicting about 5. I was hoping for 6. 6 would have given us provisional accreditation, or at least eligibility for that. And so we were looking for that, but at the same time realistic about some of the challenges we had in front of us, given the tumultuous year we were going through.
I'm wondering how district patrons, how your employees reacted to this news.
I think they were extremely excited. I mentioned it at our convocation. We had all of our teachers and staff members there and shared with them the fact that we had moved from 3 to 5 and that we had improved in 10 of the 14 areas, and they were excited about that. We used that as momentum and as excitement to move into this year. So we come into this year primed and ready for what we know is the next level. We refer to it the kind of the echelons or levels of the ladder, and it's a hard climb that we have to go through, but we understand where we are, and we're pleased with the direction we're going, and we have to go to the next level. So we have our sights set on the other kinds of, we refer to it sometimes as low-hanging fruit, but it's not really, it's all difficult, but it's areas that we think we're within range and that we're going to kind of zoom lens focus on for this year.
You know, we'll talk about some of those areas in just a moment here, but one big question that looms here, Dr. Green, what does this do to talk that the state will take over the district? What do you see happening with that dynamic in the wake of these test scores?
Well, it's hard to say what impact that will have. We hope it will be recognized as an indicator that this is not a district on a downward spiral. In fact, it's clearly a district that it's on an upward climb. But, you know, there are other critics who will say that we've seen this before, and how do we know that you can sustain it?
Right.
And so that becomes the challenge that we have to exhibit, is an ongoing, steady climb back to not only provisional accreditation, but full reaccreditation, and then just making sure that the ultimate goal is to make sure that we have a quality experience for all of our students, quality educational experience for them.
If our listeners have questions for Dr. Stephen Green, the superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools, our phone number here, 816-235-2888, our email address, UpToDate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, Steve, I noticed that Missouri Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro is offering up somewhat mixed reviews in the wake of these test scores. Yes, she's saying progress has been made. No, she's saying you haven't reached the Holy Land yet when it comes to test scores. She said this, quote, "We will continue to work with Kansas City. It's good to see progress, but they've got a lot of work to do." Do you ever get tired of hearing that you still got a lot of work to do?
Well, you can't. You have to, that's the realistic part of it. You want to be optimistic about the fact that you've started to show signs and you started your progression going forward. But at the same time, the realistic part of it is that we're coming from a low area to get to where we need to be. And so I respect those who are a bit skeptical and are not won over just yet. We will win them over time. We will win them over. But right now, this is where we are. We're still unaccredited. We are. We still need to reach other levels of student achievement in order to prove to anyone who's out there that this is the serious track that we're on, and it's not just a blip on the screen. And I think that's what you, where you hear some of that reluctance.
You know, again, for comparison purposes, Kansas City, Missouri has met 5 of 14 standards. Other districts doing better, 21 of the 29 districts in Jackson, Cass, Clay, and Platte counties met all 14 standards. 6 others made 12 or 13 of those standards. Is that surprising at all, or is that sort of par for the course for those districts, Doctor?
Well, I think it's those districts have had something that we have not had that we hope to build on, and that's a sustained and very stable, sustained
yeah.
environment. And we have not had that, and that has been part of the challenge that we face. I think that we have a system that's in place that will monitor our progress throughout the year. We will be able to give a pulse read on exactly where we are at any given moment, and then render support and assistance and resources to those areas. And given our district and where it's been over the past 30 years or so, it's been up and down and been sporadic. And when you don't have that consistent, sustaining system that gives you the feedback that you need, then sometimes you struggle in terms of reaching points.
You know, those are big words for this district, words you're using, Steve. Consistent, stable, sustained. Those are magic words for a district that hasn't had much of that for so long, right?
You're exactly right. And if you look at the neighboring districts, they've had that. I think that is the X factor. And so we're in it for the long haul to show a steady and sustained climb back to reaccreditation, first provisional, then reaccreditation, and then staying there. And I think we're in position to do that. We've looked at our infrastructure. We've done some serious audits of all of our operations, both our curriculum and our instructional system, our assessment system, and we think we have the infrastructure in place that will be sustainable.
How many years is that going to take to get all that put back in place?
Well, it's a long process because you're talking about cultural transformation. You're talking about changing mindsets, and you're talking about changing behaviors within the school district. And so that is a longer haul. That's a more difficult climb and a process that takes to over time. So, 3 to 5 years is what I've said. I think we are right on schedule, maybe even ahead of schedule, but 3 to 5 years to get back to full accreditation.
Wow. Pretty ambitious.
Yeah, ambitious, but you have to be. There's every day that goes by that we are not accredited and suffer the stigma of that. It hampers this entire community, not just Kansas City
right.
Public Schools. And so we have an obligation, a moral obligation to our students and to our families to rise out of this situation. And it's been, in the situation for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
I can't remember how long, but we've got to get out of this situation and position ourselves, as I said at the convocation, not as a falling star, but as a shining star in this community.
If you were able to regain full accreditation within 3 or 5 years, what kind of impact would that have on your district, on this city, do you think?
Well, I think it'd be dramatic.
I do too.
Dramatic in the sense that when you talk about economic development, when you talk about just the overall perception of Kansas City, I think a large part of it is with the school district. When you talk about people who want to maybe move here and are considering moving here, we want them to, we want realtors to mention that the school district is stable and fine and you can get a good education here. We're working our way toward that position.
Dr. Steve Green's our guest. He's a superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. Again, our phone number, 816-235-2888. Let's go to some phone calls here. Catherine from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on, Steve. I love your show.
Thanks, Catherine.
I listen to it whenever I can. Dr. Green, we have a 3-year-old son and are trying to decide right now which private schools we need to get them on the waiting list for. I know there are a group of parents who are trying to reopen Hale Cook and Waldo, and the idea of that is so thrilling to us. And I know they're working on a feasibility study this fall, and my question is, what is the level of support from the school district for that to actually happen? If they're able to demonstrate feasibility, is that something that you and the district and the board will support?
Yes. I met with the group that's organizing to Open Hail Cook. And we had a very, very good meeting, and I was very impressed with their organization, with their enthusiasm, and with their game plan. And I would certainly support their effort. I think they're looking at a neighborhood-type school environment. We do have to go down that path of looking at other factors of feasibility, and that has to go before my board, the community school board, and they have to look at it and analyze it from all angles. But I gave them a green light, no pun on words with my name, but I gave them the green light to go ahead and pursue this with all deliberate speed.
And what do you see the obstacles being to actually having that open next year?
Well, I think the challenges are around, when we look at financial feasibility with regard to enrollment and what the enrollment will be. There's a tipping point in terms of enrollment that they would need to look at. We also want to look at demographics, those kinds of things, and also just the overall community impact, which I think they have a strong position on, in terms of what the value added is with regard to the community, not only just there in the Hail Cook area, but across the whole region. And when you look at those kinds of things, and if the indicators are good, then you usually go forward.
My understanding is they're hoping to create a model so that, you know, if they can get this open and working, this could be replicated in other neighborhoods.
Yes, that's what they did present when they met with me, and I think there's good cause for optimism with regard to their plan.
Catherine, thank you for the phone call. Our number here again, 816-235-2888. Dr. Steve Green, the superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools, is our guest for this half hour. Dave Helling from The Star coming up later on today to talk about all that business going on with Congressman Todd Akin in Missouri. Renee from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Green, I have a student who is at Holiday Montessori. It's a fabulous school. We're very pleased with it. But I'm concerned about being able to retain teachers because I've heard that salaries really haven't gone up as some of the other districts. What can you say about that?
Well, it's, we're in negotiations right now, and I'm optimistic that we will be able to come to a good place with regard to our teachers and making sure that the compensation is comparable to this area. So as we work through this process, collective bargaining agreement process, I have a great hope that we will. I've already indicated in public that that's something I strongly desire to do, is to improve the compensation for our teachers. And so long as we can move through the other parts of the collective bargaining process with ease, then I think that will be an outcome that we can anticipate and look forward to.
When do you expect to have that squared away?
Well, it's
hard to say.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
I think we're in close in mediation right now, or at least facilitation of conversations. Dialogue is ongoing, and we're narrowing down. But I would hesitate to put any kind of timetable on it, but I think we're close.
Okay.
Are there actually funds available that you can offer the teachers, you know, a reasonable salary increase?
Well, I think that what I can say is that this district is stable. It is financially stable. We presented a positive budget, a balanced budget this year. We have the last 3 years, and so we're in good position to be able to have the conversation that we're having with the teachers union.
Renee, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk a little more about some of the standards where the district is still falling short, Dr. Green. You're falling short when it comes to these test performance standards that are called. What are those? It's students' performance on tests of some kind.
Correct. Yeah, these are standardized tests in the areas of mathematics and communication arts is where the state focuses its emphasis. And we were able to be successful in our math area, but in our comm arts area, particularly in grades 3 through 5 comm arts, and particularly also in 9 through 11 comm arts, we did not do as well.
So this is writing, I gather, reading comprehension?
Writing, yes, and mm-hmm. comprehension, being able to interpret text, analyze text, and those kinds of things, draw inferences from text, those kinds of things we have struggled in. And we think that a large part of it is attributed to our curriculum was not necessarily lined up with the state standards as directly as it could have been. Mm. We created our own curriculum at one point, shooting for the Common Core, which is another term, but it's where most states are going. We maybe got a bit ahead of ourselves in that process and veered away from a direct correlation with the state standards. And there are certain standards that the state has built in that it wants to assess even as it moves toward the Common Core. Mm-hmm. And so we actually had the State Department come in and do in March a curricular audit, and they showed us where there were some gaps in our curriculum, and they showed us where in terms of sequencing, we call it articulation in education, there were some gaps there. We have since filled in those gaps. We had a powerful group of our own educators working with experts in the State Department and also experts in the field of content of either communication arts and math. They actually worked with us to rebuild our curriculum and to make sure those gaps were filled in. So we're rolling into this year with a pretty much an overhauled curriculum that is directly aligned and directly targeted to our state standards.
Is this something you can fix in one school year?
Well, the curriculum part of it, yes. The adaptation of teachers to that curriculum and helping they're becoming familiar with it and comfortable with it because, you know, teaching is an art. And so you have to spend some time getting immersed in that mm-hmm. curriculum and being comfortable with it in order to deliver it at optimal levels. And that's what we're working on now.
So it could take a year or two, you're saying?
Before that level of comfort is there, but I don't think it will take a year before we see improvement.
You're also falling short when it comes to ACT exam performance. This is a test where that college-bound students usually take. How close are you to passing this one?
That's a tough one for us because the ACT is there are 36 points possible.
Yes.
21 or higher it takes, and you have to increase your percentage of students who get a 21 or higher on the ACT. And ours is around 16. So we're going to have to really work hard to increase that average because it's the average over several years. It's not just that one year. Right. And so you may be fine one year, but you have to keep that average up over several years. It's the same with the attendance rate as well.
Now, I have a college-bound student who's dealing with the ACT, so I have some familiarity with it. And I guess years ago I took it myself. But this is such an all-encompassing kind of test. I imagine that it's hard for a superintendent to try to deal with something that's as sweeping as something like this is.
Well, it's always a challenge in the sense that there are variables at play. One, you always want to make sure that your curriculum is robust and strong enough so that a student would do well regardless. But then there's that competitive edge that students get, and some students get more of that than others when they actually take a test prep course.
Yeah.
The Princeton Review and
right.
other organizations have that. And so we're going to shore that up for our scholars, for our students, that they will have available to them. First, they'll have the curriculum that positions them well, just a general foundation.
Yeah.
And then there's the piece of looking at those areas that the test targets and making sure that they're properly prepared to respond. Because, test taking is
it's an art itself.
In and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And many students who are very, very bright and do very well don't do well on standardized tests. So you do have to understand the language of a test. When that voice says you may now break the seal, when you're in that room and when the test starts to speak to you, you that is a different voice than the voice that you may hear when your teacher's asking you a question. And you do have to learn that.
And you're saying you can help prepare kids outside the classroom, perhaps, for
yes.
how to take this test?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
We have enlisted the support of a number of different community agencies to help us do that.
Let's go to John from Kansas City, Missouri, who has a question just along these lines. John, good morning. You're on with Superintendent Steve Green. Good morning.
Good morning. My question was actually about those community organizations you just mentioned. What kind of plans are there in place to implement those kind of programs for the students, specifically for ACT prep?
Well, we're working very closely. I've reached out to the Princeton Review, and then there are a number of other organizations here, Kaplan's here in town. We started to have conversations with them about their assistance with us. And then there are some individual, I call them kind of mom and pop organizations that have done some good work with our scholars already. And they've worked with our students at Lincoln and at Paseo. And we want to grow that across the district. And a part of our goal is also to make sure that every high school is an A-plus high school. The A-plus plan, if you recall, the state awards a scholarship to students who maintain a certain GPA, a certain mm-hmm. attendance rate, et cetera. And so what we've done is shored up our full-time staff in-house to make sure that we're working with our schools and particularly with our high schools to raise their expectation with regard to attendance, with regard to test performance, with regard to college-going endeavors, and making sure that they're available for scholarships and all those types of things. And then we're also working with a number of different – we get approached, you can imagine, by a number of different groups and organizations, and we're sifting through the ones that we think will be most beneficial to our students. And some of them already have a track record with our students, so those are the ones mm-hmm. that stand the best chance.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, thank you for the phone call.
Sure.
I haven't asked you yet about how state lawmakers are responding to the news about improvements in test scores, Doctor. You know, given their interest in recent years of passing legislation to ensure a quicker state takeover, what are you hearing from them?
I meet with numerous lawmakers at various times on my schedule, and I think there are, in many ways, there are a number of them that are cheering for us. That want to see us succeed and not have to see a state take over. Some are not. Some have proposed plans that would dissolve or advocate for some form of state assistant board or something like that. But when I talk to them, many of them one-on-one, they're pleased with the progress that they've seen. I sit down with them and show them the numbers, show them where we're going, and show them and share what our plan is and what our expectations are. And so many of them, I think, are still hoping that we overcome the obstacles in front of us.
You know, I was struck by your enrollment figures, Steve. With school opening last week, you're up by 1,000 students over a year ago, and that's the first bump Joe Robertson wrote in the newspaper in enrollment since 2005, after four decades of declining enrollment. Why the increase?
Well, I think there are a lot of variables at play. I think the charter schools that have closed is a particular reason. I think
you're picking up extra students there,
right? Yeah, those students coming to us, coming back to us. But I think our progress is a big part of it as well.
You're selling better.
Yeah, I think we're demonstrating that we've responded to the challenge and we were challenged on every angle you could think of. You could think of all the different plans that were out there.
I've had that impression over the years, Steve. Yeah,
and we've come through that, and not only come through the storm, but come through the storm improved. So that we could have been taken down by our teachers, our staff could have been demoralized any time during the year by the kinds of things that were said, by the kinds of proposals that were made from Jeff City to Kansas City. There were all kinds of strategies designed to dissolve and destroy us. And here we are, as I said in the convocation, we're still here, we're still standing, and we've improved. So I think the community saw that and say, you know what, we're gonna go back into the school, and we're not going to put our children in a charter school or private school, or we're not going to leave. We're going to stay right here.
Kansas City School Superintendent Steve Green is my guest. Steve, how much interest is there among district patrons to take advantage of the state law that would allow students residing in an unaccredited school district like Kansas City's to transfer to any nearby accredited district? I guess it would come at the expense of the unaccredited district or Kansas City, Missouri. What are you seeing there in terms of people wanting to move away? It doesn't sound like much given that your enrollment figures are up.
Right. It's easy to say that you can transfer from an unaccredited district to another district that is accredited, but doing that is very complicated. And I think we're learning that as Judge Powell tried to wade through that decision on what that looks like in terms of finances, in terms of logistics. It's much more complicated in the deep structure of it than it appears on the surface.
Yeah. A Jackson County judge just rendered something of a split verdict in a case regarding school transfers, and it's probably going to remain in the courts for a while. How big a deal is this for you guys?
Well, it's important to us because we want to keep our scholars, our students here.
Yeah.
We think we are the best equipped to provide them the education that they are entitled to and deserve. We know their needs. We've dealt in the urban core for quite some time, and so we were familiar with that. We haven't performed well. We will concede that.
Yeah.
We admit that. We've got to take care of our business, and I think we're well on the road to doing that.
You know, with the case sort of tied up in courts, are there some students who are transferring, and the Kansas City District then has to pick up the tab and pay their tuition in an adjoining district?
There very few.
Very few.
Yeah, that I don't.
But there is a little bit of movement.
A little
there.
Bit, perhaps.
Okay. I suppose if test scores keep improving, all this might become moot pretty soon.
Correct. If we become accredited provisionally or fully, a lot of this goes away. So that's where our focus is on, is increasing student achievement and just doing a better job in the classroom, a better job of data collection and monitoring and intervention when needed, given what our students' tremendous needs are as they face certain circumstances. Because let's be realistic, it's more of a challenge. That's why it's more expensive for many of our students, and the challenges that our families face. Many of our families are fragile, and it doesn't take much to throw them off course. We want to be here for them and keep them whole and move the child or their children through a quality education so that they have a chance just like any other student from a neighboring district.
And again, if you're making news out of this conversation today, you are saying you think the district can be fully accredited in 3 to 5 years.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. How did the first week of school go?
Went well. Again, like you said, the enrollment was up. That's a bit of a challenge for us.
Did you expect that? We
did not anticipate some of that in certain areas. And so we opened three new schools, two alternative schools, and our African-Centered Preparatory Academy. And so we were a bit caught off guard by the influx in enrollment. But we're adjusting and making adaptation as we go forward. We're excited. As I told you, that momentum that carried up forth from the early indicators and the convocation has rolled right into our operations as we go forward. You know, the next thing we need to do after that first week, I sent out an email to the staff, is now it's time to dial in and dial down on what we need to do, what our students need, assessing what that is, and then rendering the kind of intervention and support necessary for them to be successful.
You know, how safe are students feeling these days, Steve, and how safe are teachers feeling?
That safety has not been a factor. We're fine with that.
You're not hearing much of an issue there at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. I'm wondering how you spend your days and how you juggle all the stuff that's got to be on your plate on any given day, all the meetings you're having. How do you manage all that?
Well, I mean, it's when you're called, this is mission work. And when you're called, your day is whatever it presents, and you just you're on autopilot. You're in another zone. And so, yes, the multiple meetings, but I'm on call 24/7 to my staff, to the board. They'll tell you anytime they email me or call me, I'm available.
Do you get phone calls at 3 or 4 in the morning?
Not many,
not
many,
not.
But I can't say I don't get some. Yes.
If you get one, it's about what?
Well, usually if someone is ill, if I have a principal who's ill, or if something has happened with a staff member that's pretty serious, could be illness, it could be a family situation that arises. I'm always available for my staff. Usually it's about those kinds of things that I would get an early morning call.
How many hours a week are you putting in?
I don't count.
If you did.
I don't. I'm not going to speculate. I don't count. It's whatever it calls for, whatever it takes.
I gather it's more than 40 hours a week.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That'd be a good guess.
Always nice to have you here.
Good to be here.
Good luck with your work.
Thank you very much.